What's that? New tunes from M. Ross Perkins. That's right. He's got something new coming out. That was called Bedsheet Wing, and it comes from What Did You Do for Summer Break? And we have M. Ross Perkins in the house. Welcome back. It's been a little while.
It has been some time. Oh, there I am.
There
well,
you
hello,
are.
Juliet. It's been a while. Yes, it has. But it's always a pleasure to be here. Especially this late hour. It's the witching hour.
That's right. Got a little mood lighting thanks to the sky going on.
Yeah, the last time I was here, it was 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So
right.
Now, you know, I really had to change my sleep schedule to be able to get here on time and stuff.
So what have you been up to? I think the last time you were here, gosh, was it for the full length? Has it been that long?
Yeah, and then I was here with Motel Beds at one point, right around the same time, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right, yeah.
You know, and we played in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it has been a while. I think, since the full length, I've been working on this new EP, which is cool, and an LP, but the EP is the one that got done. So that's what.
here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Well, the prior album mm-hmm. saw a lot of success. You know, I saw it all over the place. You know, tracks getting debuted from different magazines, and you had a lot of video work from that.
Mm-hmm.
What were you kind of thinking? You know, based off of the success of that, going into your next recordings.
Well, I definitely had a lot of chances to listen to the material off that first record and really scrutinize it and criticize it, which, as you know, over the years, I've developed a real skill at being able to self-criticize, you know, into a state of creative paralysis, you could say. But so I had a lot of chances to do that in the meantime after that came out. And so for this one, I tried to make it, I think, a little sonically cleaner. There were some fuzzy, kind of dirty, grimy, gringy things on. Did you hear that? I mixed the word grunge and cringe into one. Gringy.
You've just started a new subgenre.
It was very appropriate, though, for what I'm trying to describe to you. But it was sort of grungy on that debut record. And so for this one, I tried to make it a little bit, I think, more sonically pristine. But it's, you know. Well, you know, you'll hear it, I guess.
did that effort or that mindset, did that change the writing or did that all go into the recording?
Well, excellent question, as always, Juliet. I would say the writing, actually, a lot of these songs were older, written before the debut songs. So, like Bedsheet Wing, that one that you just heard, and then a couple of the other ones were older songs, and then I wrote a couple more, after the first record came out. So mainly just in the way that it was engineered and produced, I think I tried to avoid letting myself go crazy with, you know, layers and layers of different, you know, effects and things like that. I tried to keep it a little more straightforward.
That's got to be tricky when you are somebody who I've always known you to have a great mind for arrangements. And when you have that sort of mindset and you, have the ability, especially in the studio that you're working in, to layer and layer and layer and add more nuance and more layers to things, to pull yourself back from that. Was that something you were able to kind of do on your own, or did you have that engineer helping you out, saying maybe not?
You know, on the debut, Zach Gabbard from Buffalo Killers was kind of my go to guy. I would send him a demo or tell him, you know, an idea that I had, and I would kind of feel out his reaction. You know, so if he was like, oh yeah, that, you know, that sounds okay, you know, I was like, oh, that's probably a good idea. And then if he said, you know, something like, I think you should probably think about going in a different direction, I go, oh, okay, well, I'll take that as a cue that whatever I was just doing was, you know, terrible or something. But it is good to have somebody else there. I spend so much time alone in the studio that, yeah, you realize you've been messing with three knobs on a compressor for like 3 hours. And you're just like, wait a minute, Have I been working on this one microphone's compression for the last 3 hours? And you realize that, in fact, yes, that is what you've been wasting your time doing. Mm-hmm. So with this one, I tried to stop, you know, at a certain point and just say it is what it is. And, you know, and it I think it came out sounding a lot cleaner for it, you know, without having me in there playing with every possible parameter.
Do you think that that ability to say, you know what, it is what it is, I'm letting go, I'm releasing it out into the world, do you think that that is something that has gotten a little easier because you've been making music for a while?
I feel like it was easier to feel that way when I was younger. You know, when I was like 14 or 15, I cannot believe some of the stuff that I let people hear. And I would say, oh, that's done. You know, that song is finished. It's in the bag. Move on to the next one. And now when I listen to it, I'm thinking, I mean, that song never even started. Like, you didn't even begin to try on that, you know? And so, but back then, I felt like as soon as something got, you know, became listenable or became, you know, finished enough to be perceived as listenable, I would make it available, share it, put it on the internet or put it, you know, on MySpace or whatever, you know, whatever it was back in, you know, the old days. And so if anything, it's gotten harder to do that. And I think it's because when you look back and you realize the mistakes that you made, or just you look back on your old material and you cringe and think, oh, that just sucks, it's terrible, you know. And I feel pretty objective that it is terrible. People tell me that it wasn't terrible, but I think it's an objective fact that that was terrible stuff. And I think knowing how often I'm able to look back and think, wow, what I did a year ago or 2 years ago was, you know, ugh, why did I, what was I thinking? It compounds. So now it's like, well, you better make sure that's really good before you let anybody hear it. What that means is then you end up sitting on it for like 5 years. Like,
yeah.
And I've got a couple records that I sat on for like 5 years. I'm still working on it, you know, and I can't do that anymore, which is a good thing, I guess.
Well, knowing that mindset, you mentioned that these are songs that were written previously. Is it tricky for you at all? I know with recordings, you know, listening back, you're like, ooh, why did you do that? Is it easier or harder for you with unrecorded songs to sort of go back to something old and give it new life, or decide, you know, maybe it deserves to go in the recording queue? Or
yeah, I mean, you would think that based on everything I just said, that you'd be able to look at an old song and be like, oh, well, that's a five-year-old song, so I know I want to change this part and this little line. And that hindsight is actually helping build the song. But then what in fact happens, contrary to logic, is that you end up getting so stuck in the song because you've heard it for five straight years that the thought of changing, you know, oh, I'm going to make this chord something different, or, you know, some sonic quality or a line in it, it's like it's not the same song if you change it after that amount of time. So it's like this big cyclical nonsense that you end up going through. So that's why the best thing to do is when you have a good idea, just put it down and then like immediately just cede control of it to the people listening to it, and just agree that when it's there in that point where it's good, just let it be good for everybody, and then never ever listen to it again.
So it sounds like you follow sort of the credo of the actors that, you know, never watch their film work ever. Like, they shoot it and maybe they watch the dailies and maybe they don't, but they don't, you know, go in for the premiere or anything like that.
I can't imagine if there was an element to my old material where it was like my face and my expressions and my body and my movement, you know, if there was a visual aspect to it. The only thing that could make it worse, I mean, like, I guess, the actors, they've got it pretty bad. I can't imagine going back and watching something that I acted in. The only thing that can make it worse is if they added like an olfactory sense to that, so that you could see, hear, and smell yourself. But thank God we haven't gotten that far in our technology yet.
Yeah. There's they have not talked about that in regards to VR or anything yet.
Good.
So we're safe.
Good. For a little while.
Yeah, for now at least. We're talking to M. Ross Perkins, and his new EP is called what did you do for summer break? So I assume the answer to that question is make this EP.
Make that EP. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that question is more of a statement. Always was. You remember when you were in school and you would get asked that question, what did you do for summer break? It wasn't really a question. It was more like telling you that your summer break is over.
Yeah.
You know, because you're being asked that question.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a depressing question.
And it's also a loaded question because, yeah. You know, if you didn't do something cool, if you, for example, read all the Star Trek The Next Generation novels
from the local library. A hint of personal history in this anecdote.
But, you know, what you did for summer break says a lot about you.
Agreed.
And,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
The judgments thereof.
That's interesting. You could do a whole analysis about the classism in that question.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's
wow.
So true. We're getting deep here.
We are. As we are wont to do in the city of Yellow Springs.
It happens. Well, before we get too deep, I want to give folks another listen to some of the tracks from this EP. The next one we're going to hear is When You're Near Me. Do you want to give this any introduction at all?
Yeah, there may or may not be a music video for this song coming out in the next, I don't know, maybe the next couple weeks.
Ooh. Well, we will point our social media browsers in your direction.
Yeah.
But first, take a listen to this one. It's brand new music from M. Ross Perkins.
When you're near me, not sure just how she's supposed to know. You told her years ago to watch for wolves in sheepish clothes. For such a long time she could sleep beneath your wing, but now she's gonna take an off your baby's promise ring. If you ever have a daughter, she'll surely find her bows and ribbons torn and frayed someday. Cause if you ever have a daughter, she's gonna give a little heart to a boy like me, you'll see. A boy like me would only make her cry. On a sunny afternoon, her yellow bike, and in a haste she took a dive. Was it third or was it second grade? She wore her Sunday dress and hopscotched for the animal parade. And now she's telling you that you don't understand, cause he might be a loser, but she's found herself a man. And you're gonna want to save her with your love, but it's not you that she is really. She sat on some young man's hand. You'll have to stand along the side and watch her bend to his command. Oh yes, if you ever have a daughter, she'll surely find her bows and ribbons torn and frayed someday.
Back-to-back new songs from M. Ross Perkins. His new EP is called What Did You Do for Summer Break? And it's coming out August 31st on Sofa Burn Records. That's going to be a digital release. We just heard Hopscotch for the Animal Parade, which Excursions listeners got a taste of a couple weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah, they did. Nikki had a chance to play that. Should we get, and after that, I mean, you might want to give people a chance to dry their eyes after that beautiful, wow, what great work I did on that. Yeah, that song is cool. That's an older one. I wrote that, a long time ago, in 2009 or 2010, I think. So... yeah, like Esther Caulfield Orchestra was still a thing when I wrote that.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that was...
But it sat on a shelf because I decided, oh, this is garbage. Mm-hmm. And then 2018 me found that garbage and was like, hey, who put this garbage over here? Hey, wait a minute.
This garbage, might be salvageable.
Yeah, this has not reached its expiration date yet. And that's how it ended up on the EP.
Is that something that is apparent to you right away when you're... You know, when you find that old song, you know, do you know right away, oh, this one might still have some life in it? Or does it take a while of like, there it is. I don't know. Does it have to percolate?
No, you know what? I think that they always, like, if they're old, I just know whether or not there's any chance that it'll ever see the light of day. Even if it's in, you know, like 10 years or something, I can tell you, you know. And then there's other old material that I just know for a fact that I'll never do anything with, you know. But on the next thing I'm working on after this, which is like in the oven right now, there's some old stuff from like Esther Caulfield days.
Oh, nice.
And so I've told people that and they get really excited and I say, well, you know, hopefully it lives up to the standard of, you know,
I
was doing a lot of drugs back in... you know, 2008 or something, but hopefully the fact that I've got my act together a little bit more than I did back then doesn't ruin those old songs. You think that's possible? Like if you straighten up and, you know, you stop doing drugs every weekend.
No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
You think it can only get better with time?
Not necessarily. No, mm-hmm. But I don't buy that the lack of drugs is the X factor there. Mm. Yeah. I think that, yeah, some things are what they are from an era and maybe they need to be left in that era. But I also think that, you know, with or without substance, if a song is good, a song is good and it can retain its good qualities or be enhanced, despite the state of the writer.
I think that's really optimistic. I think and bravo for your optimism. On that. But somebody, Juliet, have you heard Rod Stewart's material after he quit cocaine?
Okay.
I see that. Touché, right? No, you're correct. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's only done me favors, I think, to stop messing around with all that stuff all the time.
You know.
I didn't say never, but, you know, I don't do it all the time anymore.
There you
Which
go.
Is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta get the albums done.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, my rate of album production has gone up
there you go.
By just a little bit. I have managed to put out one record in, now two, you know, soon to be two, mm-hmm. in, 3 years or something like that, which, I mean, that rate, goodness, I'll have a whole catalog by the time I retire.
So in talking about looking forward, what is next for you after this release? I know you're, you know, working on the next recording and you've got some shows coming up.
That's right. Yeah. I'll be at Omega, here in Dayton, on Fifth Street on, what did I say? The 1st of all, 1st of
September.
And then, the 25th of August, I'll be at the Comet in Cincinnati's lovely North Side neighborhood. You ever been there before?
I have, yeah.
They've got some
good spot.
Yeah, they've got some pretty good food. I think their burritos are supposed to be pretty good. All the Little Kings you can drink. And yeah, I'll be there on the 25th of August with some out of towners whose name I don't know. But they're probably not listening, so I'm just going to say, I don't really care.
We'll find it on the internet.
Well, yeah, find them on the internet. Yeah, whatever.
The internet has all that we need. We've got a link up to M. Ross Perkins' page on our Facebook page. We're facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. We've got those show dates there as well, so you can mark those on your calendar and click to connect with him so you're all hooked up and ready to go for the digital release of his new EP that's happening August 31st. Courtesy of Sofa Burn Records, our good friends from down south. And what does winter look like for you? Kind of doing the recording hibernation thing?
Super depressed every year. Yeah. I mean, are you asking personally what does winter look like for me? Winter looks like a bleak future that someone told me existed, but really doesn't. At least
lack of sunlight.
That's how I'm feeling about T-minus 2 months.
Yeah.
Now winter's going to be cool. I'm hoping. Actually, I'm scoring a podcast. That's going to be happening soon. I think we're shooting for like fall release on that, which is cool. It's a guy in Dayton here doing that. I'm not going to give anything away because it's going to be super cool. True crime.
Ooh, nice. So, I'm curious.
And it involves. It's a local interest story, so I'm just gonna let you chew on that. But
you're hitting all the buttons for me here. I'm like, tell me more.
Yeah, this guy told me about this, and I said, well, can I just make your music? So he said, yeah. So I'm doing that, and
okay.
So that'll be how I probably occupy my seasonal affective disorder.
That's a good way to do it.
I'll emerge like a Papa Bear in the spring, rub the sleep out of my eyes. And I'll let you know how I'm doing that.
Fair enough. Well, you can get some listening ready for the colder months when you pick up M. Ross Perkins' new EP. It's called What Did You Do for Summer Break, and it'll be out August 31st digitally from Sofa Burn Records. You can see him live on August 25th at The Comet down in Cincinnati and September 1st at Omega Music right there in the heart of the Oregon District. But before we go, we're going to hear one more song from the EP. This one is called Don't Call Your Ride. Tell us a little bit about this one.
I think this might be my favorite song I've ever written, I think.
Ooh.
Until I write another one. And then it'll be that one. But for right now, I think this is the one. It's also, a little side note, my mom's favorite song of mine.
Oh, well, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So let's take a listen to a favorite all around from M. Ross Perkins' new EP. This is Don't Call Your Ride, and thank you so much.
Thanks again for having me, Juliet. You are wonderful and lovely as always.
My pleasure.
I've taken note of your cold shoulder. All night we've only met, but I can tell it's true, this crowd is awfully childish.